All right, Three Circle, man, welcome to church today as we kick off a new series. If you're a guest with us, my name is Chris Bell, and I'm excited that you are with us. Before we get started with our new series and we jump into Bullseye, just want to tell you that we obviously have a lot going on in our nation right now. We still have people hurting in Houston, Texas, and now we have Hurricane Irma bearing down on what looks like it's going to be the western part of Florida primarily. So we know that there's a lot of needs. And one immediate need that we've been asked to help with right here in our area is we have many displaced Floridians who are coming to Baldwin County. And in Robertsdale, I believe there's a large facility that's been made available for them. And they've reached out to us to say, hey, can you guys help us? We have some serious needs. Now, if you were watching our social media, we put that out last night. If you did bring some things with you, we will have a trailer out here after the gathering and at some of our other campuses as well. So if you brought it, you can take it straight out to the trailer. We have people that will help you with that. If you didn't know anything about it, here's what we're doing. They have their meals taken care of from what we've been told, but what they need is our snack items, and they need any kind of drinks like waters, sodas, Gatorades, anything like that. We also heard that they could probably use paper products like napkins and paper plates. So if you will, when you leave here, if you go, I didn't know about that, but I want to help, we're going to be taking it up all day long. You can simply go to a store and come back and drop it off, and they'll take as much as you can, because it's going to be probably many days that they're going to be needing this. And we have a team headed to Houston right now. They're on the road headed to Houston to help there. So our church is very actively engaged, and we'll be continuing to tell you how you can get involved with that. Okay, so we have some big things happening. So if you will, help us with that. Now, we're kicking off a series today called Bullseye. And what we want to do is we want to provide to you a bunch of resources. So one thing we have is that each week after the gatherings, there will be a podcast available. And if you'll, they'll tell you later on how you can do that, but there's going to be a podcast about Bullseye. And what we're going to do is each week we're going to introduce you to one of our elders. Our church is an elder-led church. So there's a group of guys that lead this church spiritually, and they're the elders. And you kind of see that model in the New Testament. And each week I'm going to be interviewing a different elder, all right? And you get to hear them talk about the subject and how they've lived out this truth in their lives. And so it'll be a great way for you to be introduced to those. So check that out. Now, as we dive into this series on Bullseye, you know, what comes to my mind is the idea that in our culture right now, the big thing that it seems everyone wants to do is to multitask, right? We're always talking about multitasking. It seems like we want to do a lot of things at once. In fact, it seems like no one is doing just one thing, right? And our culture seems to say that if you're not a good multitasker, you're just missing out on life. You're just not getting enough done. And what we're all trying to do is add more and cram in more. And you know, what we're finding out scientifically is that that's not good for us. Let me tell you what one neuroscientist says. MIT neuroscientist Earl Miller notes in a study that our brains are not wired to multitask well. When people think, now get this, when people think they're multitasking, they're actually just switching from one task to another very rapidly. Okay? And every time they do, there is a cognitive cost. The constant task switching is encouraging bad brain habits. And speaking of the downside of multitasking, sometimes it can also be humorous to see what can happen when we try to do more than one thing at once. If you don't believe me, check this out. All right. So hopefully none of you have experienced that, but let me just get some honesty here. I've kind of been asking others. How many of you have ever like walked into a wall or a door or something because you're on your phone? Let's just be honest. Yeah, there's a few of us. And some of us are like, no way am I raising my hand right now. How many of you have ever actually walked into a pool or a body of water because you're on the phone? Okay. Oh, we got one. Okay. No, you raised your hand, bro. If we could get that picture of him, we want to talk to him after the gathering, all right? So multitasking is something that we're pushed to do. And here's the truth. How many of us in this room, we just feel like our lives are a bit fractured? We just feel like we're all over the place. We can't get enough done. And see, I know in my own life, I'm telling you, technology is changing how we live. Because now I realize, and since I've been preparing to teach this series, I realize that anytime I'm sitting around with like nothing to do in front of me, I immediately am grabbing for my phone. I'm immediately wanting to be reading something, looking at something, seeing something. Even with a hurricane, I mean, it's great on one hand to be able to get information, but on the other, do I really need an update on Irma every 25 seconds? But yet I find myself doing that, right? I find myself not wanting to just sit on the swing on my back porch and just enjoy what is around me. Instead, I'm constantly sitting there looking at something. It's hard to have conversations. And I think in a culture like that, we need a refreshing biblical truth. And did you know that the Bible does not teach us to multitask? Do you know what the Bible teaches instead? The Bible teaches this idea of focus. Focus is a big deal in the Bible. And I think throughout this series, we're going to see that there is a bullseye, there is a target for us, and it's going to be very helpful for us to learn this truth. So if you'd write this down, a big idea we need to get on the paper right now is that multitasking is actually often simply doing many things poorly. We're actually not doing more, we're doing less. In fact, there's this same MIT study that was done told us a lot of things. First of all, you're actually not multitasking. Your brain cannot actually multitask. You're just switching from one thing to another really fast, and that's actually retraining your brain, and it's not a good thing, actually. There's a lot of things that are happening. They're finding out that it actually stresses you out. Pretty amazing. In fact, people who multitask often end up with very high heart rates. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been you just realized that you were anxious? You could just feel it. And it was because you were looking at your phone and trying to deal with a kid, and maybe you were cooking something or maybe watching TV. How many of you watch TV and look at your phone at the same time? I'm seeing this happen now with my kids. The other day, I was watching one of my kids, and he had his iPad and he had a computer over here, my laptop, and his iPad. He was doing a couple of things, and a show going on, right? And I'm like, son, how are you doing this? And he tried to convince me that he was actually paying attention to all of it. But what science tells us is that he was actually paying attention to one thing at a time and was just going between them really fast, okay? That is a different thing, and what it does is it ends up stressing us out. Another thing they found out in this study is that you're missing out on life. Now, isn't that ironic? It's ironic that we think we should multitask to get more life, to get more done, to go wider, to get more done. And science is telling us that actually you end up missing out because you don't go deep with anything. You're actually not present with anything. And I think, let's just be honest, is this not speaking our language right now already? Because we're all dealing with this. We are living in this world. We're actually missing out on life. Another thing we need to understand is that it is affecting our relationships. Our lack of focus on anything begins to impact our relationships. When's the last time you actually had a really deep, long conversation with your spouse without touching your iPhone or your cell phone? Think about that for just a second. When's the last time you went and had a full meal with your family without at some point looking at some kind of device? And it's multitasking. Sure, I can talk to my son and eat dinner and check out the latest update on Irma. You see what I'm saying? So this is the world we are living in. It's really beginning to impact us. It's impacting us physically, all the way down to our heart rates. These guys had people not multitask for a few days, and they watched it literally impact the way their hearts were working. It's incredible. So we need this truth in a very real sense. And then finally, and most importantly, it's impacting us spiritually. It's impacting us spiritually. And we've got to make a change. And the Bible is going to help us with this. In fact, today we're going to go to our foundational scriptures for the series. And it's Philippians 3, 12 through 14. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to us. And we're going to unpack this truth. And we're going to let it impact our lives. Look at Philippians 3, 12 through 14. It says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, you may want to underline that phrase and circle it, but one thing I do. Did he say multiple things? He said, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let's begin to talk about this. Let's begin to unpack it. First of all, during this series, what I want to do is I want to help us because I think that the arrows of our lives, instead of having a target, I think we're aiming real big. I think we're just kind of shooting out there in all sorts of directions. And not only do we not have a bullseye, we don't even really have a target. We're just kind of all over the place. And what I want to do during this series is I want to help us get our lives, the arrows we're shooting with our time and our energy and our passions and our desires and all these arenas of our lives, I want to see us get it onto the target. Definitely, that's a good thing. And I want to see us begin to understand what truly the win in life is, what truly the mark that matters most is in our lives. So the first thing we see from Paul is he says, in order for me to do this, he's going to get to the pressing on part in a minute, but he starts with humility. Paul says, now think about this. This is the Apostle Paul. How many of you in this room who know anything about the Bible would say, that guy probably had his act together? Anybody? I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament. They would throw him in prison, and he'd start writing the Bible, right? And they would, like, beat him and torture him, and he'd, well, you know, to die is gain, because to die is Christ. And, like, they couldn't break the guy. I'm sure his jailers were thinking, what can we do to really break him? And we can't. So they put him in a dungeon. He writes the book of Romans. I mean, he just wouldn't stop. And we look, and we hear this guy, and he says, I'm not there yet. So the first thing, if you want to write it down, in order to really refocus our lives biblically, is we need humility and we need honest introspection. They're required in order to hit the mark that matters most. First of all, we need humility. Paul said, and if anyone could have said, I've got my act together, if anyone could have been spiritually arrogant and proud, it was the Apostle Paul. Yet he says, I'm not there yet. So Paul admits that some of the arrows of his life aren't hitting the target and certainly are not hitting the bullseye, okay? That's Paul. So let's just get this on the table. It's okay for us to go, I'm not really doing that well with this. As I was preparing for this series, I had to admit that, like, I am totally letting my cell phone affect my life. Isn't that crazy to even say that? But I have been watching myself and kind of noting it, and I'm telling you, I need to set that thing down. I need to get it away from me. Can I get an amen? Does anyone else know what I'm talking about, right? The rabbit holes I've been chasing, man, I'm telling you, they are sucking the life out of me, okay? Because I love information and I love to read. So I can start off like, I'm going to check out, you know, so Irma's going to come to West Florida. That's going to be the Naples area. I did this yesterday. And before I knew it, I was looking at the history of Naples. I looked at who founded Naples. I wanted to know if Teddy Roosevelt had ever visited there. You just have to know me to know if that's the truth. So, and I just kept chasing and chasing. And then before I know it, 40 minutes of my life is gone. Okay? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I have got to humble myself because no one wants to admit it. Let me tell you how it works for me. And my wife and I try to check each other on this, but I'm a dude, and dudes are dudes. We got our issues, right? So, like, there are times we'll be at the table for dinner, and we've had a good conversation, and then all of a sudden I'll sneak over there on my phone, and my wife will go, hey. And do you think I go, oh, that's right. Do you think I do that? No, I'm like, hey, I'm checking something important. No, I'm not. Right? I'll go, come on. No, I'm looking at Irma. We got to know what's going on with the hurricane. Do we really have to do that right now, Chris? Right now, at this moment, at the table, while your kids are around you? See, we check each other, and we don't want to be humble about it. So I want everyone to understand today, and I don't want to make this message just about cell phones. I'm just talking to you about my issues right now, okay? But it's really across the board. We are multitasking too much. We're not focusing on what matters enough, and that's why we're not hitting the target at all. We're all over the map, and we need to, like Paul, just admit it. Just go, man, this is an area I'm not doing well in. And I'm letting the culture of multitask, the culture of fractured life, the culture of kind of being all over the map, I have bought into that. And I need to stop buying into it, and I need to change. So Paul says, I'm not there. I'm not perfect yet, okay? But then he says this. He says, but I press on. So here's the second thing Paul teaches us today in hitting the mark. Even if all of your arrows are flying off the target right now, do not use that as an excuse to not try. Paul says, I'm not there yet. I get disappointed. I get discouraged in myself, but I'm going to press on. So Paul decides that he's got to keep trying to hit the target. He's got to keep moving forward. And in a minute, you're going to see how this works. Because many of us today, you get to the point and you go, I give up. I just give up. I guess this is just life. I guess my kids are going to do 14 million things, you know, and I'm never going to have time with them. I guess this is what everybody does. Everyone else is doing it. I guess this is what my family's going to look like. How many of you are here today and you would like, if you could, you would pump the brakes on life and you would change the way things look in your family and everything? If you could, let's just be honest. If you could, you'd go, you know what? I would like my family to be different. I would like my home to be different, okay? Three of us. I'm glad you're on board. Moro, come on. How many of you would like that? Your family to be different and not just go like everyone else? Okay. If that's the case, then we have got to be willing to press on. So Paul's point is, it's important that we do this. Even though we're not hitting the mark yet, it's important that we keep working on it. And he's gonna go on. He says, I press on to make it my own because. This is huge. In fact, that because is what I'll call a gospel word. This is where most people will stop. Most people in the modern church, we preach to that point, and we can't go beyond this. We go, but I press on to make it my own, and then we'll turn a whole bullseye series, like what I'm doing. We'd spend 6 weeks simply telling you how to do things that you need to do and not tell you how. Like, we'll say, hey, you need to have a better marriage. You need to have a better prayer life. You need to read the Bible more. You need to get your act together, and you're all like, tell me something I don't know, Captain Obvious. I know everything you're saying, Chris, and you may even leave going, I want that so bad. And then we end up going and we fail, right? We go out and we fail and we fail and we fail. If we just press on, we will never hit the target. Paul doesn't simply press on. He says, I press on because. And this because is so important, guys. Look what he says. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And there it is. And there's the gospel. Let me tell you what we do in the church. And I've done this before too. When I was a student pastor especially, I had not grown as a teacher. And I used to tell kids, hey, don't do this and don't do that. And here's why. I'd make them really excited about it and show videos and drama and songs and really get you worked up. And then they would fail and fail and fail and fail. And you're like, what is it? And here's the deal. Teaching you to change your behavior without drenching it in the gospel is like trying to get your toaster oven to toast your bread without plugging the thing up. You're just going to sit there and it won't work. What's wrong with this thing? And you set it again and the bread comes out and it's not toasting. You're like, why won't the thing toast? I'm giving it everything I got. You're dialing it up a little more. You're just hitting the button and it won't work. And you're like, oh yeah, I got to plug it in, man. How many of you have ever put your Eggo waffles or whatever in there and you were ready and you came back and you realized they didn't even have it plugged in, okay? That is what Christianity looks like when you do not plug into your power source. And make no mistake, the power source for you guys, for me as a Christian, is the joy that comes from understanding the gospel. If I try to be a better person without the power of the gospel driving that, then it is a joyless and ultimately unsuccessful pursuit. Here's the deal. I get excited about a football game. I get excited about, like, Nan and I, we love music, and we and some friends for my 40th birthday here recently, we went to Florence, Alabama to this music festival thing, and it was a really long drive, and we drove, like, whatever it is, 7 hours, whatever it is. It's a long drive just to hear some musicians, and we could have watched them on YouTube, but it's not the same. And you know, not one time did we complain. It's awesome. Why? Because we took joy in it. There was a delight in getting there. Therefore, the work, and it was a lot of work, and it was a lot of effort, and we had to get people to keep our kids, and I had to get someone to feed my dog for me. Like, it's a lot of work to go hear these musicians and then drive all the way back afterwards, and there was never any complaining because there was delight and joy in it, because there was purpose in it. And here's the point. Often in the Christian life, we work hard to be better, do the things God wants us to do, but we're not plugged into the gospel. So we say, I'm going to press on, but we miss what Paul says next. Paul says, no, the reason I press on, the fuel in my tank, is this truth. Christ Jesus has made me his own. I want you to write this down, and this is how we need to understand this. We work, we press on, like Paul said, to hit a mark that Jesus has already hit on our behalf. I got good news for you today. We will not just tell you to be a better person during this series. We will tell you the fuel in the tank for your transformation is this. The bullseye, which is perfection. The bullseye, which is the fulfillment of God's plans for your life, has already been hit for you by Jesus. Do you understand that? The Bible says that Jesus fulfilled the law for us, that Jesus took our place. So Jesus, for 33 years, lined up and shot the arrow of his life as straight as it possibly could be shot, and he landed all the arrows of his life in the middle of the bullseye, never broke the law. Every jot and tittle, according to Jesus, of the law he fulfilled. And then here's what's awesome. Jesus nailed the bullseye all of his life. Then he goes to the cross and dies, and the Bible says if we will place our faith in him, God looks at our life and he goes, "Oh wow, you hit the bullseye." And we lift our hands, we're like, "Actually, I didn't hit the bullseye very much." And God says, "Oh no, you actually hit it every single time." And you're like, no, you obviously got the wrong shooter. You must." And he's like, no, I don't have the wrong shooter. I'm telling you, I'm looking at your life, and all you ever did was hit the bullseye. And that is our understanding of the gospel, is that we get credit for Jesus' perfect life. Do you get that, church? Man, the gospel is unbelievable. And that's what Paul says. Paul comes out of the gate and he says, "My arrows are hitting all over the place. My arrows are kind of all over the map. I'm trying, but I'm not hitting the bullseye." But then he says, "But I'm going to keep trying to hit the bullseye." And if you stop there, you will work joyously trying to hit the bullseye for Jesus. But Paul says this beautiful thing. He says, "But the reason I'm going to keep shooting is because Jesus already hit the bullseye for me. Christ Jesus has made me his own." If you're a Christian today, you need to understand that your standing before God is not dependent on your ability to hit the bullseye. If you're a Christian today, your standing before God is depending on the fact that Jesus has already hit the bullseye. Can anyone give Jesus praise in this place for what he's done for us? Okay? Now that we got that right, now we can move on. Now there's this joy. Now I go, "Oh yeah, look what Jesus has done for me." Now it's a delight. Now I'm like Paul, and Paul says, "I press on, and I've got this fuel in my tank. I'm not pressing on to make God happy. I'm pressing on because God's been made happy over me by Jesus." And now there's this unbelievable fuel in the tank. Now the toaster has been plugged up to the socket. Now the power's flowing through the cord. Now we're going to toast some bread in this place today, right? You following me? This is the power of the gospel in the Christian's life. And some of you are like me, man. Look, I used to go to church camps when I was a kid, and I'd come back and I'd be like, "I'm about to change the world for Jesus." I was like 11 years old. "I'm going to change the world for Jesus. I'm going to lead my whole school to Jesus. I'm going to read my Bible every day." It was totally detached from the gospel, though. It was just an emotional, "Man, I love Jesus." And I never could do it very long. Never could. Like, during this series, we're going to teach you things that's going to help every arena of your life. But if you don't get this first piece, you will not be able to succeed in any of it. You'll just stay in a cycle. The gospel breaks the cycle, because now I go, "Okay, Jesus, you've already accomplished this for me in a legal sense before God." We call that justification. I get credit for it. But what the Holy Spirit does in the Christian's life, watch this. The Holy Spirit begins to work. So when I come to Jesus, God says, and this is for all of you, if you're not a believer today, you need to understand the gospel. The gospel's not you be a better person. The gospel is Jesus was perfect for you. So when I become a Christian, when I was 12, I prayed and asked Jesus into my life. And even though I was imperfect, I got credit for Jesus' perfection. Okay? But then a process started. That was a moment. In one moment, the God of the universe said, "You've hit the bullseye, Chris, because of Jesus." But then in that moment, the Bible teaches me, the Holy Spirit came into my life. The Holy Spirit indwelled me. It was awesome. I knew it when I got up from praying. I knew there was something different about me, right? I knew that there was something going on. And a process started at 12 years old for me that has not stopped for all of these years. 28 years it's been going on in my life. And you know what it is? The Holy Spirit keeps grabbing my arrows that are way out here, and he keeps nudging them in. It's not overnight, by the way. I didn't wake up, and the next day, all of my arrows suddenly were in the bullseye. No one could make it go any faster, slower for me. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has begun nudging areas of my life closer and closer and closer to the bullseye. We call this process, write it down, sanctification. Sanctification is a lifelong process for the believer. And you hear Paul. Paul is in the process. Listen to what he says. Paul says, I'm already made right. He says, I belong to Christ. Christ has made it possible for me. But he also says, yet I have not arrived. What's he saying? That seems to not work. How can he say in one hand he's arrived and in the other he is not? He says, I belong to Christ. I've arrived, but I haven't arrived. I'm confused. Well, we don't have to be confused, because what he's saying is he's a believer in Jesus. He gets full legal standing with God. He's been set free. But now the Holy Spirit is making the reality of his life line up with the reality of what Jesus has done for him. And that's a process. How many of you know what that process is like in your life? And see, that's what we need to commit to. That's what we need to, by the way, lean into. I want you to really get a good understanding of this. Because many of us, what happens is, we give our lives to Jesus, and then what Satan will do, see, God wants you to look here. Here's the fuel. Watch this. Here's the fuel for the joy of your Christian life. The fuel for you to change your behaviors is looking at what Jesus has done for you. It will move you towards him. Here's what Satan does. Satan knows that he cannot change this reality. He cannot change this, and he hates you for it. So what Satan will do is Satan will go, hey, don't look at that. Look at all of your arrows that are out here. Satan will begin to get you to look at these arrows that aren't hitting the mark. And he will talk you into defining your standing with God by your arrows that are missing rather than the arrows that have already hit in Jesus. It's called shame. It's called guilt. And this is why Paul wrote to these guys and he says, don't you dare let that happen. You already belong to Christ, so press on. Except don't press on like it's drudgery. Don't press on like you don't have any power to do this. Press on with joy and life. You can overcome. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to let your marriage go off the rails. You don't have to multitask and miss half your life. You can live a different life because Jesus has already lived that life for you. And now the Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead has indwelled you and will empower you to be more and more and more like Christ. Okay? That's the way this works. So it's a lifelong process. You look at the person next to you and say, I'm in process. Just tell them that. Say, I'm in a process. I'm in a process. This process. Sanctification is a beautiful thing. Now, the next thing we understand, look what Paul says. He says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So the gospel fuels it. That's why he can do this. He tells you again, verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own. Again, he wants you to get that. And here he goes. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Write this down, would you? As our focus narrows, our lives become deep. This is what Paul's teaching us. The world will tell you that the more you scatter your attention, the more you can grab onto and have in your life and get done. But the Bible says, actually, the more I narrow it, the more I focus. Look what Paul says. He says this one thing. So Paul could have easily, this is so interesting, don't miss this. Paul admits to you that he has arrows that aren't hitting where they need to hit. But then he tells you, I'm not focused on those arrows. He says, this one thing I'm going to do. This one thing I'm going to focus on. I can't focus on it all. I only have, science is now telling us what Paul taught us. You only have so much ability here. You have a finite brain. It can only handle so much. So Paul says, then I'm going to focus on one thing. I'm going to press on towards what Christ has for me. I'm going to press on towards the prize that's in Christ. As our focus narrows, our lives become deep. This is an important point I want you to understand. Jesus taught us this. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those that find it are few. Now that's something Jesus said. Jesus said, only few will find it. Here's the truth today. Most of you are going to live a wide life. unfortunately, you're going to live a very wide life on the front end that's going to lead to not much life. If you continue just going with the culture, you're going to miss out a lot on your kids and your family and your marriage. It's not going to be what it could be because you're going to walk through what Jesus called the wide gate. You're going to kind of do what everyone else does. And that's the easier gate, by the way, on the front end, because it's easy to walk through. You're like, oh, wow, this is easy. We can all go together. That's why most of the culture is walking through it. Come on, everybody. It's fun. We can just, like, have multitasking and never have conversations and never spend time with God and fall in pools because we're on our phones. That's the easy gate. Jesus said, but there's a few. There's a few that's going to find where the real life is. And it's the narrow gate. It's the narrowing of your focus. It's the narrow. And that's what Paul said. Paul says, this one thing I'm going to focus on. There's nothing else as important as this one thing. You know, the narrow gate, this whole idea, this philosophy that Jesus had, basically saying instead of aiming wide, aim narrow. Aim narrow. This works in every arena of your life. Taught some of you this before. You need to grab onto it. I'm telling you, think about why narrow is better. I want you to live a narrow life, which is a focused life. For instance, if you want to get in shape, you can't eat like everyone else. That's one thing you'll learn really fast. You can't outwork a bad diet. So when all your buddies are like, hey man, let's go and have cheeseburgers and pizza for appetizers. So we're going to have the pizza appetizer and then a cheeseburger. You know how it works. Like we go to steakhouses and the appetizer is like 40,000 calories. There's the tumbling onion and they all have different, they basically all have different names. All steakhouses have a different name for some sort of onion that's been deep fried. Right? And then you dip it. So there's the tumbling onion and there's the, you know, the rollicking onion, I'm sure, and lots of onions. They're deep fried and you dip them in fat. So you deep fry it with a crust, you break off a piece, you dip it in pure fat, and you chase that down with some sweet tea, right? And that's kind of the South. Someone I knew came to visit us in the South, and you know, some of our menus now, they'll fry a green bean and you can dip it in ranch, right? And I mean, is there any worse way to treat a vegetable than just deep fry that sucker and dip it in some ranch? But we'll do it, right? We'll figure it out. Like pickles, weren't they fine before we started slicing them up, breading them, deep frying them, and then dip them in some pure fat, right? But boy, they taste good. How many of you know they taste good, right? But let me tell you, if you're going to get in shape, that's wide. If you're going to get in shape, you're going to have to go, no, I'll just have a salad with a grilled chicken on top. And your buddy next to you is always going to make fun of you, right? Because most people want to go wide and they get mad when you go narrow. So you're like, come on, man, have some fried dill pickles. No, man, I'm just going to have the grilled chicken and the salad, but I'll sit here and talk to you. And people don't, they won't leave you alone, will they? They'll start nudging the little plate of the fried pickles right over there to you. Like, come on, man, they're really good. You can't, one won't hurt you. Then they get mad. They get belligerent about it, right? One won't hurt you. Just one time. Just eat one. Finally, they got you in a headlock, right? Eat the pickle now, right? Because people don't want you to go narrow if they're going wide. But now watch this, watch this. Jesus says, few of you are going to be willing to do this, but in every area of your life, narrow is where the life is. Don't do what everyone else is doing. You want to be better financially? Don't do it like everyone else. Go narrow. Paul's teaching us this. Art science is beginning to teach us what the Bible has said all along. You were designed this way. You were designed for focus, for depth, for attention. Do it that way in every arena of your life. Focus is going to be the better option. Wide is easy, narrow's hard, but narrow leads to life. Deep leads to life. The more I narrow my focus, the more my life will become deep. And the truth is, we want deep. We desire that. We were made for that. In one of my favorite movies of all time, The Patriot. How many of you have ever saw you've seen The Patriot? There's certain movies that if they're on TV, I'm going to stop and watch them, even though I have the DVD sitting in, like I have a stack of my favorite movies. They're on DVD. At any point, I could pull that out and watch it. But I've got this thing, and my wife thinks it's hilarious, that if it's on TV, I sit down and watch it. She's like, you could watch it anytime. I just can't turn it off. If Gladiator's on, I'm going to sit down and watch it. I just am. If Braveheart's on, I'm going to watch it, right? So I love The Patriot. And in The Patriot, if you remember, the British have come to this certain guy's house. He's Benjamin Martin. He's a real character from the Revolutionary War. We know very little about him, but he was a pretty amazing guy from what we do know. They come to his house and they end up killing one of his kids. You remember this? And he and his sons go to get back at these guys. And they are on the road and it's three against an army basically, and they're hidden in the trees. And he looks at his boys. You remember what he said? He said, "Boys, aim small, miss small." How many of you guys in the room remember? Every guy in the room's like, "Yeah," you're like mouthing it with me right now. All the ladies are like, "Here we go, more patriot stuff," you know. Listen, the problem for many of us is we're missing big. In our marriages, we're missing big. Many of us are missing big with our kids. And we want to minimize it. We don't want to admit it, but we got to be like Paul and go, "Yep, yep." Listen, we're missing big because we're aiming big. We're just kind of shooting out there. Maybe it'll work. Let's see what sticks. And the Bible says if we'll focus, if we'll aim small, we'll miss small. Like we're still on the target. Like you're not going to be perfect. But if you don't aim at all, man, the miss is going to be huge. Another thing we need to understand is that if we'll decide our focus like Paul's telling us to here, it will decide our direction. Deciding what you're going to focus on is going to decide the direction of the rest of your life. It's all going to follow. When I was a kid, I grew up with two hyper outdoorsmen, my grandfather and my dad. I'm really glad that I did. So as a kid, very early on, I was into archery. I used to shoot tournaments, got a bunch of trophies sitting somewhere in my parents' attic, I'm sure, where me and my dad and my grandfather would go shoot archery tournaments, okay? And as a kid, we typically did compound bows, but my dad had some what were called recurve bows. And these are like bows without any equipment. They're just like a longbow, I guess is what they'd be more like. So an amazing, beautiful thing. And my dad taught me how to shoot one. And the first time I would shoot, I would try to use, since there were no sights, I would use the arrow. And I would try to aim the arrow and couldn't hit anything. My dad was like, "You don't aim with this bow like that." He said, "You use your eyes and you focus on what you want to hit. You use your eyes." And this made sense to me because I was a pitcher in baseball. And in baseball, the first thing your coach starts to do is tell you to stop aiming with the ball. You start looking where you want the ball to go. And you never take your eyes off of it. And like pitching a ball, I learned that with the bow, I would look at my target and I would focus. And it was amazing that if I wouldn't take my focus off, my hands, my arms, my fingertips would actually move that bow right where it needed to be. And in one motion, if you draw and let go, it's amazing that you will begin to hit the target and then hit closer and closer and closer to the bullseye without any sights or anything. It's a cool thing. You should go try it. Everyone go buy a bow and try it today. It's awesome. That's your homework. And what I learned is my whole body, my brain and everything was going to follow where I'm focusing. And that's true. Listen, guys, the way your life is going, I'm telling you, the point of the spear is your focus. What are you focused on? If you're focused on success, if you're focused on your career, then your life is going to follow that. Your energy, your money, Jesus said this. We're going to talk about it one day during the series, but it all is going to follow where your focus is. So that's why Paul said, "Hey, I'm not going to focus on the arrows I'm missing. My whole life will follow me there. I'm going to focus on God's plan for my life, the prize in Christ Jesus." And Paul said, and everything else is going to follow that. Does that make sense, church? So we've got to decide what do we focus on. It's going to take care of the rest. Zig Ziglar, a great Christian writer, said this, "If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time." So true. And I just think many of us, we're just not aiming at anything. We're just kind of letting life happen. Kids are growing up. Hope it works out. Yeah. Here comes another year with my business on. I sure do hope that things go well. Lord bless it. Well, what if we start actually aiming and focusing on what God wants for us? And see, this is exactly what the Bible teaches us. Paul could have very easily been breaking down and basically fleshing out Jesus' words in Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." That's what Paul did. Paul said, "This is what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to trust that everything else is going to follow. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Write it down, church. We must make following Christ our focus. We must. We've got to start here. Here's where we have to start. The bullseye is the total obedience and following of God. It's why we say that we lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And if you notice in the Bible, when Jesus said to go out and make disciples, he said, "I want you to teach them to do everything that I've told them to do." That's part of it. So if you want to know what the bullseye is, that's it. Completely following God. okay? Completely following God in every single way. But here's what Jesus said. If I will focus there, the rest of my life is going to make sense. Parenting's going to begin to make more sense. Money is going to begin to make more sense. I mean, you can add anything to that list. All these things will begin to make sense and fall into place when I focus on this first. It's just like a shirt, man. Listen, I've got two little boys, and I've gotten them through the stage, but I remember teaching them how to button their shirts. Any of you remember this? If they get that first button wrong, they would get so frustrated too because their collar would be all messed up. And because if you get that first button wrong and you start buttoning, the shirt is not going to work. The rest of them are always going to be wrong if the first one's wrong. But how many of you know that if you get the first button right, the rest fall in place? Isn't it great? Even as an adult, sometimes I'll get in a hurry and I walk out and man's like, yeah, I think that shirt's messed up, buddy. You got to get the first button right. And if you'll focus there, the rest fall in place. And here's what I'm telling you today. If you walk out of here, out of this series, and you go, I'm going to make everything in my life land in that bullseye, you can't pull that off. Jesus has a better way. Jesus says, I want you to focus on me first. And the problem is most of us are not. Even if we're believers, often he's in there, but he's just a ring on the target. We've got other things we're aiming at. We fit him in at the end of the week. We fit God into other places. And God says, I can't just be one of the things on your target. I have to be the bullseye. Because when you aim at God's plan for your life, everything else begins to make sense. My marriage makes more sense when Jesus is first. My kids make more sense when Jesus is first. My finances make more sense when Jesus is first. Does that make sense, church? This has to be first. It has to be preeminent. It has to be the focus. Because if I'm focusing out here, all of it's going to get fuzzy real fast. So what do? I have to make following Christ my focus. I have to. And the point is this, the big point of today is this. The bullseye is Jesus. Let me tell you why the bullseye is Jesus. Because Jesus has already done this. Jesus is the only human to ever hit the bullseye every time. Jesus loved the way God intended a human to love. He's the only one that ever has. So if you want to know, what does the bullseye look like? It's Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit is not just making you better. Don't ever say that. The Holy Spirit is in my life making me better and better. No, he's not. He's making you like Jesus. Everything God allows and orchestrates in your life is moving your arrows closer and closer to one thing, one image, one point, and it's Jesus. God wants you to love like Jesus, forgive like Jesus, walk like Jesus, act like Jesus. Church, it is all about Jesus. So the bullseye we're all shooting at is Jesus. It's him. He's the example. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And when I focus there, everything else in my life is going to make sense. But if I think that I can do this on my own, detached from the truth of the gospel, I'll never be able to do it. Now, here's the deal. There's a few things we have for you to do, and you're going to see them there on your paper. One thing we want to challenge you to do, instead of going, hey, every day this week I want you to lead your family in a devotional. We just want to help you here. We want you to do one this week if you can. We think you can pull off one. And we've put in your handout some things to do with your family. We're calling them moments that matter. Will you be willing this week to create at least one moment that matters with your family where everyone puts down their cell phones, where everyone puts everything down, and you walk through these few things we put there for you or your family? How many of you would say, yeah, I'll do that, Pastor, this week? How many of you would do it? Yep, one moment that matters. Because we think once that happens, that the ball, like if we can get your arrow on the target, it's going to start moving here. You're going to go, man, that was awesome. I bet I could do two of them every week, maybe three. Let's go there and do it joyfully and tell your kids the reason we do this is Jesus died for us. It's the gospel, okay? It's not just to be better. It's because of Jesus. And then throughout the series, we're going to teach you all these different ways that God is making us more like Jesus, but it starts here. The bullseye is Jesus. We must understand that before we can move on and press on to all that God has. Would you stand with me all over this room? And let's pray over this. Jesus, thank you. for who you are, your truth, your word. And now as we respond to you in worship, may our hearts be full of joy for what you have done for us. And then empower us to press on into all that you have for us. Help us to focus on you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.